Good morning, friends, and welcome to the Gospel of Grace broadcast. We are thankful to have the opportunity to bring to you, after 30 years of broadcasting, the reassuring message of God's free and sovereign grace. This broadcast is sponsored by the McClenny Primitive Baptist Church. You can receive additional information about this ministry and the doctrines of grace at www.mcclennypbc.com or by calling 904-259-7806. Pray as we go forward together this morning into God's Word. Please stay tuned for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.
Good morning. If you knew nothing about the United States of America or the planet Earth and just landed and you were on the face of the planet and you came to our nation and you listened to the news broadcast or you read periodicals, you heard commentators giving their opinion, then you would think that Christianity and Jesus Christ had imposed some of the most oppressive systems of beliefs that this world had ever known, or that were known to the universe. To hear the pundits today talk about the impact of Jesus Christ on society, they indicate that in order for us to be really free, that we need to put off the oppressive yoke and bondage that Christ placed on us with Christianity. I want today to take a look at the impact that the truth of our blessed Savior has had on our society. I want to look today, together for just a little while, and examine areas of our life today and see what kind of a difference the teachings of our Savior has made. Are they oppressive? Have they brought in a dark cloud over nations who have embrace the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? What's been the real impact of the life of the Savior and His truth in this world? You remember Frank Capra's movie, It's a Wonderful Life. I love that movie. It's my favorite Christmas movie. It's a Wonderful Life. And Jimmy Stewart stars in It's a Wonderful Life as George Bailey. He's a small town man. And he becomes so miserable that he contemplates taking his life. And in the movie, an angel comes and carries him on a journey and allows him to look back at his life and see the impact that he's really made by his life and his living. Well, that's what we're going to do today. We're going to look back for just a little while and look at the impact of the Lord Jesus Christ in our society. Just as Frank Capra's fictional character George Bailey looked back over his life to see what an impact his life has had in the small town that he grew up in, let's see what kind of an impact Jesus Christ has made in the world. First of all, we hear an awful lot today, a great deal, about how oppressive, what a burden Christianity is on women, how it treats women. And the teachings of Christianity teach that women are substandard and second-class citizens. Let me say this. The Apostle Paul says to the church at Galatia, this is teaching from the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Galatians 3:28, Paul says that there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. That is, in the eyes of God, your standing before Him is not based on your gender. It's based on your position in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is revolutionary. Many of this world's religions have taught that women are second-class citizens. In Sharia law, women are absolutely cast as second-class citizens and lack the most fundamental of rights. But listen, no one has altered the role of women in society more than Christ. And prior to New Testament times, women labored in harsh, subservient roles and were often nothing more than slaves to men and their families. The Greek philosopher Cicero, who was in Bible times, we think of ancient Greeks today as the very enlightened people, and Christians as uninformed. Well, the philosopher Cicero likened women to slaves and dogs and horses and donkeys, all of them just possessions to be used and cast away. Jesus' teachings, his example, reconfirmed this truth in every way that from the time of creation, women are of equal worth as men in God's sight, including all of their roles in marriage. Women have different roles, but it doesn't mean that they're lesser roles. God has given men certain roles in marriage and women certain roles in marriage. And whenever we both embrace those roles, it's beautiful and wonderful, but they're not, one's not better. They're not inferior roles. They're different roles. And let me say this, all of the women's rights that are enjoyed today, especially in the past 200 years, were produced by Christian faith. If you're a woman living in a Western nation today, you can thank Jesus Christ for the freedoms that you enjoy. What about family life? The application of Jesus' teachings gave permanent strength and complete foundation for the world's most important institution outside of the church, and that is the family. The Word of God is very clear. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. That's right, Paul says in Ephesians 5. And in Ephesians 6. In the family, as I've stated previously, wives were not slaves. Husbands weren't to be tyrants. Paul said, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Children possessed incredible significance. Christian truths of submission to each other, husbands submitting to their roles, we're to submit everyone to each other, and then wives, submit yourselves to your husband. Christian truths, equal worth, equality, self-sacrificing love, those truths have given harmony and protection to family relationships that over hundreds of years became the foundation of Western civilization and culture that we enjoy today. And we should be thankful for the habits and the practices of Christian families today. They're inspired by Jesus Christ. Civil government. The fact that there is civilized government. Paul said the powers that are in existence today, civilization, not anarchy. Paul said in Romans 13 that the powers that be, that is governments, are ordained of God. They're to be a minister to you for good, not to be oppressive, not to be totalitarian. But Paul said God's ordained that government should be for the good of its citizens. One of the things that we all criticize and take for granted in the 21st century is the positive role of human governments and the fact that they were shaped by Christianity. Let me say this, and historians can try to reconstruct history all they want, but prior to Christian faith being applied to civil governments, people in human history lived in perpetual fear of massacres and tyrants. Your town could be here today and could be burned to the ground the next day just on the whim of some tyrant, some tyrannical petty potentate, prince or duke or baron. You could be alive one day and dead the next at the arbitrary word of some horrible tyrant. Power and fear ruled human societies for much of human history. But after the coming of Christ, the biblical role of civil government began to be pressed and emerge through documents like the Magna Carta and British common law, which is the basis for our law. British common law was based on the principles of the Sermon on the Mount, that we ought to treat each other as we want to be treated, and that equity and justice should be implemented in our dealings with each other. That patently comes from the New Testament. And liberal historians can't do away with that. And we should thank God and celebrate it. Republican forms of government, democratic principles, human rights. Let me say, those things were not just the evolutionary march of history, as social evolutionists would say. They were very specific applications of Christ's teachings about human governments. But he gets no credit from the liberal elite today. Let me ask you this. Do you appreciate the thin blue line, the police that protect us, the armed services that protect us? Do you appreciate them? Do you value the right to vote and to elect your representatives? Do you appreciate tranquility of just social order? Do you appreciate that? I do. The ability to lay down my head in a Western civilized government. All those things which are not enjoyed in many non-Christian nations in the world today are patently the fruit of the faith of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ as they established their nations built upon the principles of God's Word. It's just a fact. Let me say this. You can argue all day long that the roots of our government are taken from biblical doctrine, and it's being lost today. America's Constitution goes all the way back. The first Constitution of America belonged to Connecticut. They had the first Constitution, the first state Constitution. Predated our national constitution. The Fundamental Orders of Connecticut, it was called. And it was framed by the Puritans. And it required that each aspect of it be grounded in Scripture. And most of the other constitutions in the states contain many similarities to the Constitution of Connecticut. And those principles were carried over into our national constitution. You can't get away from the fact 50 of the 55 signers of the United States Constitution were Orthodox Christians. And today, liberal historians are trying to rewrite and say, well, most of our founding fathers were not Christian. That's a lie. They were. And what they believed made the nation that we have today. There's no doubt that the concept that there needs to be checks and balances in our government system is a direct result of the biblical doctrine of the sinfulness of mankind. Our founders understood that men are sinners, and so there has to be some kind of check and balance against the low-lying fruit of human nature, that men would rise up in their human nature and impose themselves. And so our forefathers, understanding presence of sin in men, put in place checks and balances. That comes as a result of biblical doctrine. The notion of the sovereign authority of God, as mentioned in the Mayflower Complex and the Declaration of Independence and all 50 state constitutions, our currency, rather than the sovereignty of the state, is certainly biblical. Did you get that? Today we're being taught that the national government is sovereign. Our forefathers, the framers of the Declaration of Independence, the framers of the Mayflower Compact, all 50 state constitutions recognized the sovereignty of God, the authority of God, and that we owe our existence to Him. The existence of moral absolutes is a biblical concept. It's certainly being attacked today by the liberal elites. But the Declaration of Independence, that there are certain things as moral absolutes, there are things that are absolutely right, things that are absolutely wrong. And the framers of our important historical documents would make statements like this: we hold these truths to be self-evident. In other words, it's clear that we receive from our Creator certain inalienable rights. Our government, the underpinnings of what has been the greatest nation on the face of the earth, the stability, the foundation of it, based upon our forebears and their wisdom, was certainly based on biblical truth. It's a fact. And I just want us this morning to look back and see the impact that Christ and His Word has had on our nation. It's derided so much today. In Christ, now, education. You know, there's been the strong movement in our nation that we've got to get education away. If education's going to be strong, we have to get it away from the influence of the Bible. Let me say this. Our public education system is based off of our forebears' belief that God would have us to be educated, that it's essential for us to function as citizens and servants of God, that we be educated. And our forebears put much emphasis on the great literature, the classical literature of the ancient world. Did you know if it wasn't for Christians that the great literature... Let me say this. Today it is taught that if you're a Christian, that you're an uneducated, myth-believing individual. That you don't believe... If you're a Christian, you don't believe in education. Across the centuries, it's been Christians who preserve the great classical literary text from ancient times. They would have been lost to this world. But Christians held them and preserved them, copied the ancient writings during the Middle Ages. Do you know the first universities? The first universities in Western civilization were started by believers who had a thirst for knowledge and wisdom. The printing of the Gutenberg Bible was considered by Time magazine the most important event of the past 500 years because it made truth and knowledge easily available to the masses. Let me ask you, have you heard lately from the liberal press that the first 120 universities in America, beginning with Harvard University, was started by the followers of Christ for the advancement of the Christian faith? Most of the major milestones in human education flow from one fountain: faithful followers and believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christianity hasn't been against good, healthy, stable education. It's been the founder of it and the supporter of it. Now let me say this: much that passes for education today is poppycock. I did my best to educate my son in the classics, the great classics of Western institutions and civilization. We need to return to that. The teachings of Christ have been the foundation of stable business. That's a fact. The reason America prospered is because it was based on the Puritan work ethic. As a nation, we weren't raised to work till noon and then everybody go home and take a nap for 3 hours and then come back when you felt like it. And I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I'm thankful for the Puritan work ethic that made this nation great. And do you know where that work ethic comes from? It comes from the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, said that we're to, everything that we do, we're to do it heartily as unto the Lord. Whenever we're serving our employers, Paul said, not as men pleasers, but all as unto the Lord. The development of human work and labor and industry finds its zenith in the application of Christian truths. I'm telling you, for most of history, and still in some parts of the world, there were only a few wealthy tyrants and then teeming masses of poor people. 5% of the population would be very wealthy and then 95% would be very, very poor. For thousands of years, there was absolutely no middle class and no freedom for individual initiative. But let me say this, as the gospel spread in Europe, all of that changed as believers applied biblical concepts of labor and industry and free enterprise and capitalism that led the world out of mass poverty came as a result of the Protestant work ethic. And that's been pointed out in work after work after work, volume after volume. How about science? Listen, Rodney Stark, in his marvelous book, For the Glory of God, points out, listen to me, modern science was born of the Christian faith, and it's not in opposition to science. It was Christian civilization that proposed that design points to a designer, and that man was placed on the earth to discover God's secrets in nature and use those secrets that are discovered, those discoveries, to benefit people. And from Galileo and Faraday and Pascal and Einstein and Newton, Many of the leading scientists, both of the past and the present, have been people of faith who use their trust in God to reveal the mysteries of creation. But that's not the way it's being painted today. If you listen to the modern liberal press, you'd think that all of the Nobel Prize winners for the past 50 years have been enlightened and they didn't believe in God. Nothing could be further from the truth. Let me say this, for the past 50 years, over 65% of the Nobel Prize winners have been believers in God. Now, that's not what you would glean from the modern press today. No, my friends, the life of Christ has made a great impact. But let me say this, finally, the impact that Christ has had on this world, the love of Christ has made its greatest mark upon the world. God is love. And Jesus' incredible suffering on behalf of sinful human beings showed us once and for all that God cares for His people and that He's provided a way out of our sinful guilt and our self-destruction. And for 2,000 years, the followers of Christ have been carrying this love of Christ, this compassion in our hearts to help the helpless. The majority of hospitals and other ministries around the globe have been launched in the name of Christ. We've been replicating Christians, the love of Christ, across this globe. The Red Cross. Get it? The Red Cross. It's not accidental that the universal sign for help and benevolence points back to the love of Christ. His was a wonderful life, and it continues to make a wonderful difference today. Don't believe the devil's lie. Be thankful for that wonderful life that Jesus Christ lived. May the Lord bless you all, is my prayer for Christ's sake.
As we bid you farewell today, please remember to tune in next week to this channel at the same time for the Gospel of Grace broadcast. This broadcast is sponsored by the McClenny Primitive Baptist Church. You can receive additional information about this ministry and the doctrines of grace at www.mcclennypbc.com or by calling 904-259-7806. Please pray for us. And until next week, may the Lord richly bless you all is our prayer.